Haley's Castle.
Hey, Mike Jensen. I feel like I just saw you.
I know. We just had dinner last night, but, you know, always wonderful to see your face. So.
I know. Mike's very sad. He left his fajita leftovers in his backpack.
I'm so bummed out. I literally so many times last night was like I got home, was like, put them in the fridge. And then like an hour later, I was like, oh, I didn't put them in the fridge. I should go do that.
And
then like
so
an hour
prepared.
Later, I was like, oh, I still have, I was like, I brought my own like Tupperware. It's not, I don't think you're supposed to call it that, but whatever that brand is. I try to be responsible and not have any food waste. And then, yeah, left it in my bag. It's very sad.
My condolences.
But happier news, because this will be coming out on Wednesday, the day before the first, I believe, two episodes of And Just Like That are coming out. So And Just Like That is making its second season debut. But we are also making our debut a day ahead of that.
Yes. And but hold on, really right. Quickly, before we get into that. You know, there's been a lot of excitement in the SATC world right now because they just celebrated 25 years. Mike and I were on Scripps News talking about our experience with the 25th anniversary of Sex and the City. You can find that on our website, wecouldn'thelpbutwonder.com, if you missed that. Also, there's been a lot of great content being put out there by the And Just Like That official Instagram and the And Just Like That costumes, and, you know, Sarah Jessica, Cynthia Nixon, and Kristen Davis have all been posting a lot. And also Max posted some special features on their streaming page. So if you go there, you can see two things that I'm pretty sure were released at the end of the series of Sex and the City. I think they are content and like interviews from 2004. But then you can also listen to the And Just Like That podcast either on wherever you get your podcast or on HBO Max. You can listen to it and watch some screensavers in the background. And that's,
yeah, sort of funny.
And that's Michael Patrick King's podcast. But with this episode that they posted specifically, had Cynthia, Sarah Jessica and Kristen as guests, and it's a really interesting episode. Mike and I both listened to it. Just a lot of, you realize that even these women, one of my favorite parts about it was in the beginning when he asks her a question and Sarah Jessica's like, I don't really know what my answer is to this or the answer that I've been told to say because I've talked about this so many times. And and just about how much of the world or how much of their world Sex and the City has impacted. So that's just some great stuff that you can go check out. I was lucky enough to attend the Sex and the City experience in New York City. I really wanted to go. I didn't know it was happening. I don't know if anyone knew it was happening until Sarah Jessica and HBO Max posted, we're doing this thing to celebrate 25 years. It's free. This is where you get the tickets. And of course, because Mike and I work in the evenings, I may have clicked the link a little later in the morning than some others, and I wasn't able to get tickets. And of course, I immediately emailed and was like, would love to share this with our listeners, you know, if there's any way. And I did get an email back that I'm sure everyone who also pleaded for tickets got back saying, you can go to the standby line. But a friend of mine was unable to go, so his husband brought me as his plus one. And I'm just going to share with you guys a little bit of what that was like, because it was such a cool experience. So number one, it was run so well. I've never been to one of these experiences. I know they do them for different shows, for promotion. I've never been to one, but it was run so very well. We got in right at 11 a.m., which was our time. And when you first walked in, they told us exactly how to walk through it. They said, this is how you're going to walk by. You're going to see these. They had these setups that said, like, I'm a Carrie, I'm a Miranda, I'm a Samantha, I'm a Charlotte. And that had neon signs with pictures, tons of photo opportunities. This whole thing was really made for photo opportunities. And the other thing that was so great was all the employees, if they saw you taking a selfie, would come up to you and say, oh, let me take that for you. And then they had a complete replica of Carrie's stoop, so you could actually sit on it and take pictures. Because even if you go to the real Carrie stoop on Perry Street, there's a little chain up that usually says, like, please don't sit here. So now you can, you know, take your time getting pictures, and they weren't rushing you through those moments. And then the one photo opportunity they had where it was a professional photo was Carrie's window. So you got behind this set piece, they had everything perfect, and you would sit there and there's a photographer that would take your photo, and then you could immediately have it emailed to you. And it was as if you were doing your I couldn't help but wonder moment. I got a little nervous and just smiled like I was getting my school picture taken. I didn't really know what to do. And then they also had a newsstand right there that I believe you could actually buy things from, but it was made to look like an early 2000 newsstand, probably where Carrie's Single and Fabulous magazine was purchased. And then you went into Carrie's bedroom, and it was a complete replica of her set, of her bedroom set. The clown table wasn't there. I did look for it, so I guess it wasn't complete. But that's more in her hallway into the bedroom. The bedding was there, which apparently you can still buy. It's Calvin Klein bedding. I looked for it online. You can find it on, like, Amazon or Wayfair. And even the garbage in the trash can was accurate, which was really cool. She did have Marlboro lights next to her bed, not the Marriotts. And they let you sit on the bed and take some fun photos. It was a little low to the ground, so I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to get up. And then you walked through, and they had this video montage going with all these flowers. And then you walked into this main area where they had all of these iconic costume pieces. You know, they had her... What do they call her dress? I think of it as like a Little Red Riding Hood dress, but I don't really know what she calls it.
The Heidi dress?
Oh, the Heidi dress. That's it. Yeah. So they had that dress. They had the tutu. They had the dress from And Just Like That, the Valentino one she wears when she goes to spread Big's ashes. The baguette purse. They had a whole wall of all the iconic shoes. The only thing I kind of wish they would have done differently is posted where each shoe was from, because they said what the shoes were, but... You know, obviously the blue Manolo Blahniks, okay, that's the wedding. But there were some of them that I was like, I'm not really sure where that's from. Kettle One did a Cosmopolitan bar. So they had either Cosmopolitans or they had a mocktail, which may have been in the same shaker as the Cosmopolitan. I took a sip and was like, oh, this tastes like 2008. But it was a mocktail. Or maybe it just, I haven't had a Cosmopolitan in a long time. And then they had a... You know, their little merch counter, which I had to get some merch. They had these cute slippers that said, Hello, Lover. I didn't get those. I did get a sweatshirt that I'll be wearing. And I also got Mike and I something, which he hasn't even seen yet. So hold on.
I haven't yet. I was going to say, you said you had a present for me.
I know. I forgot. Hold on one sec. So I'm showing Mike. This is the bag. It says Sex in the City, 25 years. And I got us both these. They're matching. They are Sex in the City 25-year notebooks.
Oh, cool.
And they're, like, really nice bound, and they have, like, you know, paper in them because they're notebooks. And then they all come with these pencils that say, I couldn't help but wonder, and just like that, Sex in the City. So I thought those were, like, you know, something cute that...
Yeah, for real. That's lovely. Thank you.
You're very welcome that we can keep our little, our notes in. Oh, and last but not least, they had a Post-it wall sponsored by Post-it, where you could write your own Post-it and put it up there, and then they had Post-its that you could take with you. So it was super cool. I hope that they bring it to more cities. I don't know if they are going to do that, just because it's probably a lot to just transport all of the costumes.
Where was it?
It was in Soho. I want to say it was on West Broadway, but I could be completely wrong. But it was just in one of those open spaces.
Okay.
Yeah, and they gave you these little Post-its too, that would say And Just Like That on it. I think they had cupcakes from Magnolia one of the days. They didn't have them when I was there, or they ran out. So yeah, I don't know if this would be something I could bring to other places, because I think some of the stuff was rented out too, like the Valentino dress, or I know a lot of these things are in Sarah Jessica's personal collection now. So she would have to, you know, so just to pay, and because it was a free event, just to pay to for the insurance to transport all that stuff around is probably a lot. But I don't know. But I thoroughly enjoyed it. I was so glad I was able to go to that. I wish Mike could go too, but he was getting ready to go to Fire Island, so he couldn't make it. And then the last thing I wanted to just quickly mention before we talk about our next project is Kim Cattrall is debuting her new series on Netflix also on Thursday, July 22nd. And that's called Glamorous. And I don't know a lot about it. I watched the trailer for it. It's giving me Devil Wears Prada vibes, except Kim seems a bit more nice. And that, did you happen to watch it, Mike, the trailer?
I haven't. No, I didn't watch it.
No, it looks really, really fun. Just really quickly, I'm just going to read the article from Variety. It says, Netflix's upcoming series Glamorous is like The Devil Wears Prada of Meryl Streep, replaced by Sex and the City's Kim Cattrall. And instead of Anne Hathaway, she hired drag queens and non-binary actor Miss Benny to work for her. It's considered an LGBTQ comedy series, and it premieres June 22nd. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Always love to see Kim in anything that she does.
All right, yeah, that sounds like fun. So it was funny when you had said that there was a new thing to watch. And then I went to listen to it, and I had already listened to it as a podcast, because they call it the writer's room, and it's usually the writers talking about the episode. I usually will listen to that before we record our thing for extra information. But yeah, it was a really interesting interview with those three women.
I also loved the part where they say that Sarah Jessica was offered the part first. Cynthia Nixon had auditioned for it, Kristen Davis was supposed to audition for Carrie, but Cynthia Nixon auditioned for the show, thought she did a great job, and they were kind of, like, not telling her whether or not she got it, and her agent eventually was like, you have to let us know. But Sarah Jessica says that they had told her that Cynthia Nixon was already attached to the project as, like, a selling point for her. So
yeah, and you wonder what order those things really happened in, because it seemed like Cynthia Nixon was the first person to audition for it, that she'd auditioned, like, early in the wintertime. And it makes me wonder if, like, the timeline was just kind of a weird thing of them finally signing her and then convincing, because then Sarah Jessica talks about how, like, her biggest thing was, like, the uncertainty of signing a 7-year contract, which is what you do when you sign on to anything in television. Like, you kind of sign away your life for the next 7 years.
Yeah, and especially with her and Cynthia were both theater actresses in New York, so they didn't know what was really coming next. Kristen had done Melrose Place, which I've never seen. Sorry.
You know, it's funny, I watched Melrose Place. I didn't watch 90210. I watched Melrose Place, but I must have stopped watching before she joined.
Yeah,
like, I watched for like 2 seasons maybe, but yeah, didn't get to Kristen Davis. But anyways, it's a really interesting interview. I do suggest listening to it if you want to hear some sort of behind the scenes stuff. And yeah, it is funny her saying of, like, I don't know what it is that is actually my memory and what is that's just the story that's been told now so many times, which is, you know, definitely how lore can kind of, like, change the actual facts as you tell a story. So our main thing we wanted to do today is that we've been kind of teasing a new project that Elise and I have been working on. We've been thinking about it for a while, and we really have, like, we dove in, I guess I'll just go ahead and say it. We are going to be launching, and actually it will have launched. When this comes out, you should be able to go and find our other podcast. How would they find it, Elise?
So this is a project that Mike and I, once again, have been, even if you follow us on the Instagram, we've kind of teased it for a long time, but life happens and we can't always do things. So this project is called Still Wondering, and it is a journey through New York City's romantic comedies. This project is a Patreon project because, you know, things take time and we're trying to spend a lot of time on this, but we both also wait a lot of tables. So we're hoping to wait a few less tables so we can spend time putting this out there. You should be able to find it just on Patreon. It is called We Couldn't Help But Wonder, just to make it easier for you to find the actual page. I will have the link on our website, which is wecouldn'thelpbutwonder.com. Also, all of our social channels. We will post the link on our Instagram and Facebook. If for some reason you're having a hard time finding it, feel free to DM us, send us an email at wecouldn'thelpbutwonder@gmail.com. We are making it as accessible as we can for $4 a month. So $4 a month is going to get you one new romantic comedy every month, split up into 3 or 4 episodes. The first one that we are covering is When Harry Met Sally, because we feel like if we are going to cover romantic comedy set in New York City, there's no better place to begin.
Yeah, it's sort of the mother of romantic comedies, certainly of the modern era. And then, yeah, for our 1-2 punch to start out, our second one's going to be You've Got Mail, staying with Nora Ephron, or Ephron, as she says it in the commentary, and Meg Ryan. And we had a lot of fun. We've recorded both of those already. The first 2 episodes of what will be 4 episodes of When Harry Met Sally should already be available. You should be able to go listen to those right away. The next 2 will be out next Wednesday. And then from then on, it'll be an episode a week. Some months it'll be 4 episodes, some months it'll be 3. It kind of depends on how the conversation takes us. I tend to cut them down to about 40 minutes each, and that's just a me thing. It's because I enjoy a 35 to 40 minute episode. That's kind of the sweet spot of podcasts as far as I'm concerned. You know, no ads. It's just going to be Elise and I talking. I'll sprinkle in a little bit of the actual film here and there, but mostly focusing on our take on the comedy and our take on the romance and our take on the meet cute, our take on any Sex in the City connections that we think that we find. We're even going to, at the end of the episode, tell you whether or not we think this couple lasts or not.
And we're sticking with, you know, like what we couldn't help but wonder in these films as well. And, you know, the feedback that we've gotten from you all over the past 5 years and what I think sets us apart from other recap podcasts is that we do live in New York City. And so we try to focus on that stuff, too. We try to focus on locations, where these things are. Do they still exist? Would these things still happen in those locations? Because, you know, that's something that you may not know if you are not from or living in New York City. And also, yeah, like Mike said, the Sex and the City connection. The interesting thing we have discovered as we've started this journey is that these Sex and the City can live in the same world as these comedies and vice versa. And just almost looking at it as one big experience of New York City rom-com extravaganza.
And before we go to our closing credits today, I'm gonna give you a little sneak peek of the first, you know, 10, 15 minutes of our first episode. And then we'll probably post some other stuff for free just so you kind of know what it is that you'll be getting, but hopefully you know what you're getting with us. Hopefully we're giving you more of what you've been enjoying all of this time, and the feedback we've gotten from y'all has been so lovely and so positive and really heartwarming for me. I know some of the things that you've all written to us, so just more of that. Hopefully more of what you've already been enjoying from us.
And we'll see how this goes. As always, we appreciate any feedback you have. We have about a year's worth of films, I would say, set up to do.
Yeah, we have a solid first season of focusing on really like prime romantic comedies set in New York. And who knows, second season, maybe we'll go into other genres. But for now, focusing on the romantic comedy, focusing on New York City.
And also, we've talked about, you know, adding extra tiers and content, and we'll see what happens as this goes on. And, you know, let us know what you would like to hear or see. Like, any feedback is always appreciated. Once again, you can reach us on Instagram at We Couldn't Help But Wonder, or reach us out to us individually. I'm at EV Castle. The V is for Victoria, if anyone was ever wondering. And Mike is at Mike Jensen 77. The 77 is for
an extra trombone.
Oh, ooh, that was quick. Good to think of it.
It happened right then. It happened right in the moment. 77 is the year I was born.
Yes.
Proud to be almost 46 years old. Age ain't nothing but a number, even when it's kind of bigger than you're prepared to say.
I'm going to go now. So, yeah, we're really excited. We hope you enjoy this. It's been a lot of fun. And, yeah, like Mike said, I repeat all of that. You know, we're so grateful for everyone that's listening. And we wouldn't have even thought to do this if we didn't have you guys asking for more. So we're so grateful that you want to hear us.
And paired together for now with a brand new season of And Just Like That. There's a lot of content.
A lot of content happening.
We're excited to share with you.
Yay.
All right, sweet. So stay tuned for a little sneak peek of our new project. And then, oh, I guess we should go ahead and say it's going to be the same format as last season. For those that were with us live, that there'll be two episodes of And Just Like That happening on Thursday. We're going to have our first breakdown coming out the Sunday after, and then from then on, you know, we'll be 10 days behind. We'll be covering the episode that happened a week and a half ahead of time. Part of that's just for our sanity, so that we're not like rushing to put out a product that we're not happy with, so we can take the time to make sure that it sounds and feels the way we want it to. And the other is, you know, everyone can get caught up. We live in the modern age where everyone doesn't watch the episode the day it comes out, so we give you a little bit of time to watch and get ready, and for us to put out the product that we're going to be proud of.
And the best part about still wondering is that you have things to listen to while you're waiting.
And those will be on Wednesdays, like I said. So you got a midweek podcast and you got an end of the week podcast.
And something I think, if you are going to subscribe to Still Wondering, we're going to try to let you know where you can find the film. Hopefully, we're going to try to find the place where you can stream it, maybe for free or somewhere that you already have a subscription to. So as of last week, you could watch When Harry Met Sally on Tubi for free with ads.
So that's a good way to check things out. Yeah, we will try to let you know ahead of time how you can watch the film so you can join us on our wondering journey.
Yes, as of today, you've got mail. You do have to rent on Amazon Prime. I did that, but maybe things will change between now and next month.
Yeah, and we'll try to keep that updated too.
Okay.
All right. Sweet.
Yay.
We'll be back in your feed real, real soon with whole bunches of stuff for you to listen to.
Can't wait. All right. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Welcome to this special sneak preview of Still Wondering When Harry Met Sally. Well, Elise Castle, how are you doing today?
Well, Mike Jensen, I am great.
This is something new for us. We're giving something a try. This is our first part of our first episode of our brand new podcast that I think we're going to go ahead and call Still Wondering. Is that what do we like that title?
Yeah, I mean, I just now in this moment thought we could do a nod to Shania Twain and call it Still the Wondering, but Shania Twain has nothing to do with our podcast, so we won't be doing that.
Sure, yeah. So I just thought, I think the idea was, let's kind of look at other romantic comedies, particularly the ones that are taking place in New York. That's what we're going to look at right away. And look at, break those down the way that we've broken down episodes of Sex and the City. And we'll do a little bit of compare contrast, but kind of treat them as their own thing and talk about cultural impact and questions that these different films ask. And, you know, because, you know, we're still wondering what's going on with these romantic situations.
Yeah. And also, since they are all placed in New York City, we can still do the location things and talk about things that have changed.
Yeah. And, you know, kind of what better place to start than When Harry Met Sally, ...
And you love an ellipses.
I love an ellipses. I love it. And it will actually play a part in the story of the making of this film as we go along.
Yes, Mike has done the Mike thing. And when we decided we were going to do this, I, living in 2023, just looked online to see where it was streaming. And I found a way to watch it digitally. And Mike, however, decided to order the DVD, the hard copy.
Gotta order the DVD.
Because that's what he does.
Hard copy. I need the documentaries. I need the commentary.
Yes. Is there a DVD description?
There sure as heck is. So here's the DVD description that I have here. From acclaimed director Rob Reiner comes this explosively funny romantic comedy classic starring Bill Kristol and Meg Ryan. Sex always gets in the way of friendships between men and women. At least that's what Harry Burns believes. So when Harry meets Sally Albright, and a deep friendship blossoms between them, Harry's determined not to let his attraction destroy it. But when a night of weakness ends in panic, can the pair admit they just might be the perfect match for each other?
Does it say Bill Kristol?
No, it says Billy Kristol.
Oh, I thought you said Bill Kristol. I was like, oh, it's like when theater people say Steve Sondheim.
Who knows? We're pretty close.
I will say that it is very funny, but neither one of us exploded because we're here today.
Yeah. I think that was by way of Newsweek called it explosively funny.
Okay.
So just a little bit behind the scenes, you know, this is directed, like that said, by Rob Reiner. You know, he's a multi-Emmy winning actor for All in the Family. At this point, I'm mostly going to talk about these people as of the making of this film. He had already directed films like the Spinal Tap film and Stand By Me and Princess Bride, all classics. This was written by Nora Ephron, who at this point had written the screenplay for the film Silkwood, which did get her an Oscar nomination. She'd also written the screenplay for Heartburn, which is based on her own novel, which was semi-autobiographical to say the least. But it is worth noting that Nora Ephron at this point had not directed anything yet.
And this is 1989.
1989 is when this came out, so I'm assuming they shot in 88. The stars, you have Meg Ryan, and you know, huge star now, but at this point, she was probably best known for her supporting role in Top Gun. She'd had a bit of a run on the soap opera As the World Turns, but she was not a star. This was a big break for her. And then you have Billy Kristol, or my friend Bill. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was already quite famous. He had done a lot, but it should be noted that he wasn't a romantic lead, and he wasn't really known as a leading actor yet. So the basic, like, germ of a story behind this is that Rob Reiner was at Alan Horn's house. And Alan Horn and Rob Reiner were two of the founding members of Castle Rock Entertainment. And this is, like, this film will go on to be, like, the second film that this production company ever makes. And Rob noticed that Alan's father, Sol, wasn't talking. He was sort of sitting there quietly. And so kind of out of nowhere, Rob asked, you know, hey, Sol, tell me, how did you meet your wife? And Sol started telling this story about how they met. And it sort of inspired Rob Reiner to think about relationships and how they began. And it became the original story as he sat down with Nora Ephron. And they tell the story of how they sat down at a meal at, like, the Russian Tea Room. And immediately Rob pitched a completely different story. And immediately Nora was like, no, that's not a story that I care about telling. And they hadn't even ordered yet. And they sort of funny, they tell the story of like, I probably should have pitched it over dessert because then we had this whole lunch that we had to have. And there were many stories that they would get together and pitch and just nothing really worked until this one came about. And that the crux of the story was, what if we look at two people who meet just as their first big relationships are ending? And they realize that they want to be friends, and they know that if they sleep together, it will ruin the friendship. So they don't sleep together, and then eventually they do, and it ruins the friendship. And that was kind of like the basis of this. And it also is important, I think, to point out that Rob Reiner had gone through a divorce about 10 years prior to the making of this film, and had in many ways kind of gotten in that headspace of like, well, love doesn't last. Like, what is the point? Everything falls apart. And that it's sort of like a negative headspace about romance.
The Mike Jensen story.
Correct. But some of us stick with it. And there we go. We can kind of dive into the film now. You know, we start out with It Had to Be You on piano. And I was for a moment a little distracted by, and then was like, oh, the lengthy opening credit sequence, because we don't really do this anymore.
No, but I mean, for me, they're always fun because even if I've seen a movie, I don't remember half the time who's in it, or especially like who's worked on it. So like Mark Shaiman and Harry Connick Jr. were fun surprises for me.
So yeah, a couple of names that I want to talk about, and one of them is Harry Connick Jr. He was 20 years old at the time of this, and he was not a star. He was sort of up and coming. His credit is special music performances and arrangements. And you know, I will say that as I watched it, because Mark Shaiman is also credited as musical arrangements, and you can kind of tell like when it's just piano, I think it's Mark Shaiman, and then when it's vocals involved, it's Harry Connick Jr. But this was a big break for Harry Connick Jr. And then the other name that I want to point out right now is the director of photography, which is Barry Sonnenfeld. And at this point, like he had a good career as a director of photography. He had done Raising Arizona. He had done Throw Mama from the Train. He had done Big. But he also had not directed yet. Just put a pin in that and we'll get back to him a little bit later.
And Mark Shaiman, of course, has gone on to music.
Do everything.
Yeah. Most recently, Some Like It Hot.
Music genius.
Yeah. The other thing that I thought was interesting, since we were talking about people's ages, is when I was rewatching this last night, I thought about the ages of Meg Ryan and Billy Crystal.
Sure.
And it's just like a social thing that like she was 26 when this was filmed and he was 41 or 40.
40, yeah.
And I understand the reasoning why they had to be a little older, because the movie progresses, they age, this and that. But it is just interesting that like a man can get away with playing a 21-year-old at 40.
Yeah. And it's still very relevant today. I did write that note and then I'm like, I'm going to skip over it for now. But yeah, there's a bit of an age difference there. And you were correct. In a way, it makes sense because they do end up playing like a range of ages. But yeah, I mean, that's just kind of a Hollywood thing, right?
Well, no, it's also like a regional theater thing if you go see a production of Grease.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, It Had to Be You.
And then we start out with an interview between couples talking about how they met. And important note, remember how I said that this was inspired by Sol Horn talking about meeting his wife? This first story is the story of how Sol Horn met his wife.
Wow. But these are all actors.
These are all actors. Yeah, that's important to point out. So these stories all come from real places. I don't know where they all come from. I have a couple of notes on them. But they were all interviews with people talking about... But they were sort of telling the same way in which you're like, if you ask an ancestor like, hey, how did you come to America? Like 2 hours in, you're like, they haven't gotten on the boat yet.
Right.
So they would tell this story and then Nora would kind of take it and like, okay, here's the 30-second version of that story. But it's a sweet story. And it kind of, some of these stories, we already talked about this. I'm not a very romantic person. So all of these stories amaze me. Like they're all kind of stories. This first one about how like they met and like he just knew he was going to marry her. And 2 weeks.
Yeah, I have that written down. And 50 years later, we are still married.
50 years later.
And I wonder about that sometimes. Still wondering. Is it different now? Like, was it different then? Like, do we overthink now? Like, part of me was thinking, because this really got me thinking, this question. Like, because this happens a lot of times with older couples. They, you know, they met very briefly. They got married right away and they're still together. And I'm wondering, is it because of the way society was, they just kind of had to work through things, you know, or did they not work through things?
I think that every single thing you just said is true.
Okay.
Like, I think all of those are true. You know, I don't want to be apocryphal, but like my memory of my mom's dad talking about meeting my mom's mom was that I think she was working at a movie theater and he went with his friend and they were both very young. I think that she was like 17. I think maybe he was 19 or 20. And he went in and said to his friend, I'm going to marry her. And they were married like not all that long later. And, you know, they both passed late in age married to each other, you know? And I think there's something to be said for, I mean, this is a whole subject, but I do think that we have so many distractions now. Mm-hmm. I think there's so many, like, the possibilities are endless, where it's kind of like, well, then why am I with this person for more than blah, 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 you know?
Right.
I think it's a bit of both. I think it's a little bit of both. So we go to the University of Chicago in 1977, and this is really the start of our story, as we see Harry Burns making out with someone, and we'll find out who this is later, but we see Sally Albright driving up behind. We'll find out later this is Amanda, played by Michelle Nicastro.
And I like that Meg Ryan's car, Sally's car, it has like an antique looking, like it, that suitcase looked like it was on the Titanic and it's strapped to the top of her car.
Sure, yeah.
You know, I'm always just worried about that falling off. But yeah, she yells, back's open.
Yeah, and it's worth noting they are both wearing wigs. And Meg Ryan has on a very Farrah, this is 1977, yes. So there was no hairdo bigger than Farrah Fawcett's hair right
no,
here.
No, and I did notice that. I did notice two things about the hairstyles, both this one and one she has later, is that women really only paid attention to the front. Because when they turn around, it's just flat or it's not as good. It was like, we got to get that swoop and that's it.
Yeah, the comment was also made that they sort of wanted her to look young. They wanted her hair to look younger as she got older. And even they say they didn't necessarily 100% accomplish that, but I can see what they're talking about, that she does just become a little more relaxed as her story goes along.
Yes.
And yeah, I want to drive the first shift. And he's like, yeah, you're already in the driver's seat. And it's funny that we do get the idea, and this is made to be true later, that Sally and the girlfriend know each other. That Sally and Harry don't, but Sally and Amanda, as we find out later is her name, already know each other.
Right. I did write, like, I'm assuming Sally knows unknown girlfriend of Harry, and they both live in the same place, so they are carpooling back to New York together, you know?
Yeah.
But I just find it interesting that a woman would say to her friend, like, my boyfriend lives near you. You guys should drive 18 hours together. You know,
I guess that's some trust, or that's some confidence there.
Yeah. Or is that, once again, 1977? I don't know, when, you know, things were different and options were fewer.
Yeah. And we're on the road and it's going to be an 18-hour drive. And I like that she has I like that she has a lot of ideas about how to trade off. Listen, there are things about Sally that annoy me and things about Sally that are nothing like me. And then there are things about Sally that I was like, yeah, okay, fine. I see.
I was watching this and I was like, with the exception of her ordering behavior, I think I'm pretty Sally-esque in a lot of ways.
I can see that. The ordering, I think, yeah, we'll get definitely get to that fairly soon.
And seeded grapes, I guess.
Yeah. Do they even exist anymore?
That's what I was wondering. I wrote, why ever buy seeded grapes? But then I found out that unseeded grapes probably weren't made yet at that point.
And I guess this is also a bit that Billy Crystal got from his grandfather, that the grandfather used to like eat seeded grapes and lean down really low in the seat and then like spit out the window and it would never make it out. And he'd make the joke of like, I guess I should roll the window down or something like that.
Yeah. And he also, I think, improv this. I read somewhere that this wasn't
sure
a thing.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
was there.
There's a good amount of that. And then, you know, the whole thing of like, she doesn't eat between meals. We're just really quickly discovering, we're establishing that she's a very rigid character, and that they're going to New York and that she's going to be a journalist.
And that the girlfriend's name is Amanda.
Correct. And you know what I like? One thing that I like about this character in this moment, the character of Sally, is that I feel like there are so many people that finish college and have the idea of like, I've done so much. My life is already so full. And I sort of like that she's like, I haven't done anything yet.
Why don't you tell me the story of your life?
Story of my life?
We've got 18 hours to kill before we hit New York.
The story of my life isn't even gonna get us out of Chicago. I mean, nothing's happened to me yet. That's why I'm going to New York.
So something happened to you?
Yes.
Like what?
Like I'm going to journalism school to become a reporter.
So you can write about things that happen to other people.
That's one way to look at it.
Suppose nothing happens to you. Suppose you live there your whole life and nothing happens. You never meet anybody. You never become anything. And finally you die one of those New York deaths that nobody notices for 2 weeks until the smell drifts into the hallway.
You can subscribe to our new Patreon-only podcast, We Couldn't Help But Wonder, Still Wondering, right now. For more information, like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram at We Couldn't Help But Wonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBW Podcast. And don't forget to check out my new podcast with Vanya Arslanian, Mike and Vanya Can't Not. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. We would love if you would share this podcast with someone, put up a link or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review there. Most importantly, stay safe, and let's all take care of each other. We'll be back on Sunday with episode 1 of season 2 of And Just Like That.
Like, downtown in Soho? Like, that's where Soho is. God, I don't remember. My friend Nick had the tickets.
All right, let me chew. Sorry.
All right, Jimmy Choo. It's like our first episode, Mike.
I know. It all takes me back. Join us on our wandering journey.